Application. At this stage in the Olive Branch Conference, with one session to go, I wanted to do two things. That is, I knew I had to attempt the difficult, if not impossible, task of riding two horses at once. First, I wanted to bring the conference to a suitable conclusion, in order to round off the 3 or 4 days we had spent together. But I also wanted to preach the gospel and make pointed application of all that we had thought about in those days. I attempted the impossible by preaching on Colossians 3:11, Christ is all. William Perkins, the Puritan who was so influential in setting the mark for fellow Puritans to reach as regards preaching, had an excellent dictum. What's the use of it? He would ask. In my dinner table illustration, it's all very well laying the table and bringing in the meal, but imagine it. Guests sitting round a table well and truly laid, with the meal spread before them, and all they can do is discuss what is before them, concentrating on the vitamins, the enzymes, the antioxidants, the balance of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, the number of calories and the amount of cholesterol in the food. All they can talk about is the presentation of the dishes, asking for the recipes, discuss, debate, admire. Is that what it's all about? Surely not. The meal is meant to be eaten, digested, enjoyed. Above all, the meal is to give the diners power and energy to sustain and encourage life and work. This, after all, is God's purpose in creating the raw material, the cook's purpose in preparing the food, and the ultimate end of our sitting at the table. Applying the illustration, what's the use of the history of redemption through covenants? What practical use, that is? That is what I tried to address at Olive Branch. In this closing chapter of this book, however, I will confine myself to a summary of the sort of application that should be made of all we have looked at. I have spoken of this in detail in many other works. I direct my remarks to both the unbeliever and the believer. We have been thinking about the covenant history of redemption, salvation, deliverance, being set free. Set free from what? From sin, its condemnation, guilt, power, and ultimately its presence. Set free from bondage, slavery, God's wrath, death, and law. Very well. Listener, are you redeemed? Can you speak of Christ in this way? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? Do you know that Christ has redeemed you? Do you feel it? In other words, are you trusting Christ for your salvation and submitting to him as your Lord? Redemption history through covenants. Very well, listener. Where are you in this history? Which covenant are you in? You most certainly are in one covenant or another, whether or not you realize or acknowledge the fact. Which law are you under? You're under one law or another, spiritually speaking. Which? Whose? Who is your husband, Christ or the law? Which mountain are you living on? And you most certainly are living on one of two mountains, spiritually speaking, whether you're or not you recognize or like to admit it. And if you're not living on Mount Zion, then you are living on Mount Sinai. And that means you are vainly hoping to be right with God through your works. Give it up at once. Trust Christ and rest yourself in his finished work. As the writer to the Hebrews put it, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven, for our God is a consuming fire. And then, of course, there is the believer. What are the consequences of this history of redemption through covenants for you as a believer? Well, as a believer, you are not under the law of Moses, certainly. But you most definitely are under the law of Christ in the new covenant. And this has huge ramifications for your assurance, progressive sanctification, and perseverance unto eternal glorification. I would love to develop all these matters here, but since I have done so at length elsewhere, I leave it there. The history of redemption through covenants is not simply an academic discussion. I did not treat it as such at Olive Branch, nor did the friends arrange the conference, simply to have discussion about the covenants and redemption. Issues of life and death hang upon it. Eternal consequences hang upon it, and all of it in a highly personal way. In saying this, I am addressing all believers, including myself, but I am also addressing unbelievers. Do not rest until you know you are redeemed by Christ and in the new covenant, and then live the rest of your days increasing in the experiential joy of this truth to the glory of God in Christ by the Holy Spirit.